captains welcoming you aboard Boistra.
We request that all mobile phones and other electronic devices be turned on.
We've been sent here to kick ass and kill toxic masculinity, and we're fresh out of asses.
I'm Cornerstore Poppy.
I'm David Marcus.
I'm Lyle Amalio.
Every week we bring you a discussion on different topics.
So sit back, relax, and take flight.
Boys trip.
So Donald Trump said a whole lot on Twitter today. I'm on his Twitter right now. He talking about a terrorist attack in London and how these animals are crazy and must be dealt with. But right before he said that, he talked about Omarosa. He said, quote, "When you give a crazed, crying lowlife a break and give her a job at the White House, I guess it just didn't work out. Good work by General Kelly for quickly firing that dog."
Dog? Called her a bitch?
Yeah. Called her a dog.
Yeah. He went out of his way to call her a bitch.
Deleted it.
Deleted it and put dog.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we all know that.
That's what he wanted to say.
Yeah.
But it's like, he just described himself in describing her.
Mm-hmm.
A crazed lunatic with a job in the White House.
Yeah.
He's the pot calling the kettle a nigga.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But I mean, your birds of
a... Called her a lowlife too. Crazed, crying lowlife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they loved each other not too long ago. I mean, it just shows like...
They were ebony and ivory.
Mm-hmm. Probably still are behind closed doors. Once they're both down and out, like, yo, Omarosa, if you ever see Pootie Tang, Omarosa is the Wendy Sykes to Donald Trump's Pootie Tang.
Okay, yeah.
She's the bottom bitch. So regardless, after Trump, after he gets tarred and feathered and walked through the town square butt naked to be ridiculed for the walk of shame, and they throw tomatoes after him, who will be waiting for him at the end of the lair? Who will be coming, giving him a little eggs in his commissary? Omarosa.
Perhaps. Or I think she's trying to write a book and have publicity.
Yeah, her book's about to come out.
Yeah, so she's trying to be one of the ones helping tar and feather him.
What
to
if
put herself on the opposite side of history.
What if she was like doing a Bojangles thing this whole time and was like wading in the water, and she was like, now she's gonna come out like this. She was like, I've cooned for all these years, I'm gonna expose you. And it was to get to this point. You know, she's like, nah, I could have more dirt on him.
She's been cooning for well over a decade, huh?
But what if she drops like a tell all and it exposes him and it helps get him ousted, and she becomes with it as like a Sada Shakur and some shit, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, as a revolutionary. No, I'm just saying, what if?
I don't know, man.
What if?
Nah, she's got a long way to come back from. Yeah,
that's not being a revolutionary.
What if she drops the piss tape? What if she has a?
Who's like, then she might get a job with the FBI. Like, everyone hates Trump. Yeah. That's not being a revolutionary. Yeah. Trump?
Yeah, false equivocation. Peace to Sada Shakur. Peace to all real revolutionaries.
She'll get a job on MSNBC.
She'll have her own show.
She'll get her own show.
Yeah. She'll get her own show, and then she'll be on those round tables on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know there has to be a porn star that's using that right now. Thinking of it, like, I'm gonna flip this into a scene.
There's audio.
Stormy Daniels, she's around.
Yeah.
I'm a roast ya.
She's making money.
I'm a roast.
Yeah, she got back into it. She's making money.
Yeah.
Wait, how do you know she got back into it?
I read the
news.
You
seen her in the...
Nah, you're not going to get me like that.
I heard it through the grapevine.
Yeah.
Hey, man. It is what it is. Yo, so fellas, how's the taint life been going?
My taint has not been addressed yet, no.
We just had this discussion, man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll wait. I'll give you guys a little more time.
Yeah.
I will report back once I've been tainted.
Yeah. As soon as I get some taint love, I'll inform you.
You don't even have to. We'll be able to tell. I haven't been tainted, so. Well, I mean, you know, there's been some. New topic.
Wow. I mean, there's not more to say about Omarosa. I'm trying to get some more detail.
There's audio of her talking to Donald Trump, I guess, after she was fired or relieved of her job.
Mm.
And he's saying, oh, what happened? I'm seeing stuff on the news. And she said, yeah, I don't even know the guy's name.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he told me that you guys wanted me to leave. So, and he was like, yeah, you know, it gets real crazy. It's a real busy job, but I didn't even know that.
Mm.
Like, you didn't know that somebody on your staff was about to get fired?
Was being fired.
That doesn't add up.
So, he's kind of like... he talks a lot of shit, but he's a coward in the face-to-face? Is that what that gives the impression? That he doesn't have the heart to fire someone himself? That'd be interesting. He'll tweet it, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I never really go on his Twitter because the stuff just makes it to the news. But, man, when you look at his Twitter feed right now, it's crazy. He just rants about whatever. Like, I'm just looking. Okay, 12 hours ago. Fired FBI agent Peter Strzok, however you say that, is a fraud. As is the rigged investigation he started. There was no collusion or obstruction with Russia. Like, I'm just saying, I'm just reading something. He just lashes out at people constantly.
Yeah.
Talking about Lou Dobbs and stuff. Yeah. Talking about Alabama coal mines. I mean, I don't know. He's all over the place.
Apparently there's audio of him using the N-word. Or
really?
Well,
it's reported.
Was he singing like "Down for My Niggas"?
Nah. It wasn't the Seabird cut. Because
it's so like,
no.
I mean,
in that one, song, you know, you
gotta, if with that,
you don't know who's around. Like that's a catchy song. You let it slip.
You give him a pass for that.
Yeah.
Them other niggas.
So there's audio.
I think Omarosa said that there's at least audio of her talking to Trump. People working on the campaign saying that, you know, if this comes out, like, how are we gonna handle it?
Oh, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, that's his spokesperson.
Yeah.
Spoke about it today. Hold on.
Yeah, she said she can't confirm that.
Damn. We know he uses it all the time.
Probably, I mean, yeah.
It's not policy, but we know he uses it all the time. Yeah. There's no way someone like Bobby Smarter. You know his dad did. His dad was a big landlord in Queens and shit.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, you know, get the niggas out of my building. Like, absolutely. You know he grew up hearing that type of stuff.
Exactly.
So, the president... Okay, so here's what she said. The president addressed that question directly, she said, adding, I'd never heard him use that term or anything similar.
Yeah.
He tweeted Monday, I don't have that word in my vocabulary and never have. She made it up. Wow, that'll be interesting. No, but...
But then... A reporter asked Sanders, mm-hmm. if, like, you can say without a doubt that there is no recording out there of Donald Trump using the N-word, and she said, "Well, I can't guarantee that."
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he's. I mean, look at him. Just look at him.
Not only do you know he says it 4 years of him, it's been a year and a half. An N-word tape is going to come out.
Yeah.
Like, in no way.
The Trump nigga tape. But maybe, what context do you think he said it?
Maybe C. Murder. You already gave one example he was singing.
It was probably on some, like, you know, over-sexualized male Mandingo shit. Come here, Melania. I'm gonna fuck you like a nigga. It's probably something like that, yo.
I bet he uses it in many contexts.
It's very weird. The cuckolding, you know, the white male's obsession.
Yeah.
The black man's sexual prowess. It's really intriguing. So... I wonder what context.
Yo, real quick. It's a little aside, but I don't want to forget. I know someone who knows someone who works as like an intern at the White House and works around the president and all of that. And this is the most disturbing thing I ever heard about him, because it shows how depraved he is. So apparently when he gets out that helicopter, they go in there and there's McDonald's wrappers and stuff tucked in the seats. He won't even give them to someone to throw them away. Apparently, every time they go into that helicopter, this sounds believable to me, because who would make up this and spread it around?
So he's not cleaning up after himself?
Not only that, but he's so, like, fucked up that he still has this little kid thing where he, like, tries to hide it from them. Like, you're the president. What are you hiding rappers for? Mm-hmm. Either leave it on the seat, give it to somebody, throw it away, give it to the pilot, but to tuck it in the seats, man, that's so the most disturbing thing I heard about Trump.
Maybe he's just a douchebag knowing that they're going to clean it anyway.
You know whoever's getting the...
Yeah, I don't get that.
Why,
like,
why tuck it? Are you trying to be polite? Like, come on, man. Do you do that at home? Do you tuck stuff in your couch?
Maybe he doesn't want people to know he eats McDonald's.
Everyone knows he eats McDonald's every meal.
True. And Diet Coke.
Yeah. He's not taking care of himself. But
he definitely has been putting gum... underneath that Oval Office desk.
Yeah. Probably.
All types of gum mixed with chewing tobacco. I don't know.
Chewing tobacco.
You know, run a black light under there, you probably see all types of shit now.
I don't see it.
Brock's had to be immaculate, probably. A black light check. All right, we're good. No scandal tonight. Trump is like, yes, press conference. Shh, shh. Silent Toppy under the desk.
Silent Toppy.
You know, and he'd be making them faces and yeah. Jokes on us.
Yo, yeah.
That's just funny how, like, I know Bill Clinton's like, damn, what the fuck, yo?
Come I got on, in trouble, man. I just, like, yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
There's no recording of me doing it.
Like. He's like, I wasn't even, you know, this dude's grabbing it. He's like, damn, he should have waited, for Bill. Should have waited. Wrong
era.
Should have waited to the 2000s, man.
You should have had a TV show first, you know? You should have came show. In. Yeah, you should have took a different route.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But.
Yo, it works for Republicans, right? Reagan, too.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. Not like, this, yeah, man. Yeah.
Nah.
He said he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and still be okay. And that's probably true. And his supporters, his core supporters, they're not leaving for nothing.
Nah.
Nothing. I don't know. It's nothing he could do. That N-word tape, it's not going to cost him nothing when it does come out, if and when. Okay. He said the N-word. They're not going to care.
Yo, if black people still vote, yo, I can't. Oh, man.
For his re-election?
Yeah, if, like, if somehow it leaks that there's black people voting for him, like, you're uninvited from the cookout. Remember for life.
What,
like,
he said towards the end of the campaign, he's like, for African-Americans, I mean, what do you have to lose? I mean, you might as well vote for me.
Yeah. He was like, it's been bad. It's like, been pretty bad for the last 8 years for black people under a Democrat. Like, you should just try it.
Try me. He didn't give a reason to, so it wasn't
But then God said, oh, you cops, you know, talking about watch your head. He's like, you could be a little more rough.
Yeah, was, just push him in there.
In the era of, you know, I mean, it's been a consistent thing, us being hunted, shot down mercilessly. We have a prison population that's like, what is it, over 3 million now?
Nah, it's not that high, but.
Nah?
High enough.
That shit's 1 million. Up there. One I million. Heard 2.2 million.
Not that's the whole million. United States. Oh, you mean everybody? Everybody. Yeah. Yeah, it's over 2 million. Half black. Yeah.
Not just, no, I'm saying pop. Not just black or white. I'm saying total.
In general, population. Yeah, it's over 2. 2.1, 2.2,
you know,
something like
it's
that.
It's just crazy. Yeah. You know, we're awarded many liberties as far as freedom of speech that other places don't really have. You know what I'm saying? However, you could become targeted for it as a result. And then, just being black in general. Yeah. Your skin is weaponized. A cop told me your skin is weaponized. So the cop told me. Black cop. You know, but not like in a bad way. He's trying to break it down. He's like, this is how we're treated. And that's how he's like, this is the mind of the white cop. It's like, threat.
Yeah. Need backup.
They're scared. They're scared of us.
Yeah, but even freedom of speech. I mean, a lot of places I feel like have as much freedom of speech as here. Hmm. If not more. I mean, in some ways. Depends.
True indeed. Yeah, I'm just focused. You know, whenever we compare America,
you pick the worst place you can think of.
Yeah, like, there's so many places. In
yeah,
America.
Yeah.
So many.
You pick the worst place. Like, oh.
Well, I think our freedom of speech isn't policed like it is in other countries. Yeah, like,
yeah, I mean, that's extreme.
We could get a fine or some shit, but we're not like disappearing off of freedom of speech.
Yeah, unless you get too powerful.
Yeah,
then your freedom of speech is gone. Then you get, so it's like, it's a catch-22. Like, yeah, no one cares. We talking shit right now on this podcast, but once you get up there, then they will care.
I love everybody.
Yeah,
death to the wicked earth legs.
So did you feel bad for Omarosa?
Did I feel bad?
Yeah.
No.
See, that's how I felt.
Not at all. I see people out there defending her and condemning the racism. I'm not condemning racism on someone like her. So nah. Not doing it.
Nah, she's been timing for a while now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard. I think just from a human point of view, to be called a dog is pretty bad, especially as a black woman. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, you let this shit go on for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. Like, to say that there might be a tape of him saying the N-word, you still rode with him that whole time. Like, you didn't do anything to distance yourself from him.
Well, she came out and admitted that she once, when she was quoted saying he wasn't racist, she once thought he wasn't a racist. And she realized over time, and it was killing her because she was still working for him, but that she realized he was racist, like, over time. So she's saying she did know, but she just didn't come out with it. She's selling books, man.
Yeah, her book's about to come out. This is perfect timing. Selling books.
Don't buy her book. Get a PDF. Find it online. Find it on Twitter or something.
Nah, I'll probably just read the footnotes. Or wait for somebody else to review it.
People are going to summarize it. Mm-hmm. That's the thing with books nowadays, too. People take all the good parts and put them all over social media.
Yeah.
What if I keep thinking, though, I keep thinking on the flip side of her, like, flipping. Like, what if she gets an afro? And then, like, gets on some... No, like, what if she...
Flips? Like an OJ? Like OJ with the dashiki?
They're trying to do this to a black woman. And then, if something happens to her, then she's a martyr, yo. Think about that.
I'm thinking about it, but... I mean, I'm just thinking about
it. She would have to do that for, like, 30 years to catch up with the 10 years of crazy shit she's been doing.
But see...
It ain't in her. She's just trying to make money. It's not in her, man.
She's not about no movement. She's about this money.
It ain't in Russell Simmons. I definitely don't think it's in her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they just try to make money.
Yeah.
And this book is coming out.
I got a book to sell. Voice trip. You're not even boys. You're a bunch of... I can't even. I'm trying to do this.
That was Rappaport, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, it sounds like Rappaport.
Here's the deal. He's such an asshole.
Yeah, he is an asshole.
I saw him arguing with somebody on the phone.
Wait, in real life?
In real life. A couple of, like,
he would be arguing with someone on the phone when you see.
It was like, well, he was walking by Washington Square Park over there. And he was like yelling at somebody on the phone. I was like, damn. I was like, yo, that's how he really sounds. Like, damn.
Wow.
He's spazzing. He's like, you're fucking idiot. He was going in. I was like, oh. And then rest in peace to Patrice O'Neal, comedian. I saw him in Chinatown arguing with someone. it was funny. No, in real life, it was a Chinese guy. It was funny, ignorant, problematic, funny.
He was problematic. He was doing a stand-up routine. Like,
it wasn't a stand-up routine.
Nah, but I'm saying it was like it was.
It seemed like
it was those type of jokes.
Yes.
Wow.
Ooh, I remember that, man. And I saw him one time in Jersey City, man. Rest in peace to that dude. He was an amazing comedian.
He was a New Yorker?
Yeah, I think so. Man. Yeah. Preached to Von DiCarlo. That's his widow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Good singer. Pardon the chickpeas, you know, I'm just eating healthy. You know.
You do boys trip on a run. Sometimes we got to eat a meal at the same time as our recording.
Make a can of chickpeas disappear in my mouth.
Yeah, just noticed that David and Lyle are talking about the chickpeas because they're the only people that are eating this chickpeas on this boys trip. But enjoy. I want you both to enjoy.
Will do. So how was Derrick Gaines at Caroline's?
Didn't end up going. Didn't end up going. But shout out to him, though. I got tickets, though. I supported, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I got to catch the next joint. Derrick Gaines, amazing comedian from Jersey.
Yeah.
And, you got to check him out. Check out YouTube. You know. Follow him.
I seen a lot of his journey. I was like 19. He's a few years older than us. He must have been like 21 or so. And I was living in Philly with another comedian named Naeem Lynn. Mm. So sometimes Derrick Gaines would be around. And he was just, he was above like open mic level, but he was just like a real local Philly. Because he's from South Jersey, Lindenwald. Mm. He was a real like in a local Philly comedy scene. And then I'm up here. I'm seeing him up here and move to New York. So that's like, you know, you get out the Philly scene. Now you're in a New York one. I think that's a step up. Then I see him on Broke Ass Game Show on MTV. That's out of nowhere. He got hired for that. And he did that for a couple seasons. Then I saw him on The Last OG.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes. And then headlining at Caroline. So it's good to see. It's like 1%, not even, of comedians who make it out, even make it to that level. You know? Sure, so indeed. Seeing him and Naeem Lynn, who I used to live with, seeing people like that make it, It's good because that's a rough business right there. It's like music. You understand? Yeah. It's like music.
I feel like it's harder.
Yeah, yeah, like some ways, yeah.
Have to be so in tune with, like, other people's psychology,
mm-hmm.
you know, and their own presentation, how they come across, like, they become masters of, like, manipulating laughter
yeah.
out of people. And it's very, very difficult, I feel. Like, you know, and so P-Stam, he's definitely one of my favorite comedians.
I feel like, too, they get held to a high standard, too, with the problematic stuff now. Like, you get away with saying more. You can get away with saying more in a song. It's kind of like a song. It's different levels of, like, where something's problematic. Like, if you start off at, like, pornography, right?
Yeah.
Nothing's problematic. Like, anything goes in that underworld.
Gaggers.
Like, people say all types of shit. Like, whatever. Like, it's super rare. Everything. Everything is, you know. Then you get up to, like, in music. Okay, it's a bigger standard than that. You can't just say whatever. But it's not like, you know, comedy on stage. It's a whole different thing. And you get to the written word, and it's a whole different standard. What you write is, like, you got to be way more careful writing than we do on this podcast. Like, half the stuff we say on here, I wouldn't write it.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
No. Oh, you know what men shouldn't do because it make them look, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not about to write that. So, yeah, it's all different. Different standards of how problematic you could be based on the medium.
You know what's crazy, though? At a place where you come to hear jokes, people get offended,
mm-hmm.
knowing they're jokes.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? I don't know. But there's a thin line, too, because, like, that Kramer shit, that wasn't a joke.
That wasn't, he said it was a joke. Like, after, like, yeah, okay.
You can talk, you can, oh, my goodness. Michael Richards, shame, shame, shame.
It taint, man, that's a wonderful show. He has to taint it a little bit. Like, you know, you don't laugh at him the same as you used to.
Yeah,
like,
and I'm a Seinfeld fan.
Yeah, Seinfeld is lit. Know,
wonderful show.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David, he's great, you know? But when I see Kramer, it's like, damn, you motherfucker. And it makes me wonder, was he popping jokes like that on the set?
Probably.
Was Julia Louis-Dreyfus like, hell yeah, nigga. Like, I don't, mate, who knows?
I'm gonna think no, just for myself. Yeah, I'm gonna guess no, but it's a good question.
I think the jokes went on, but I don't think Seinfeld or Larry David like gave it any juice. Like he might have said something there, just
All right.
It's like all right, bro.
Was he the Uncle Jim Bob of the cast? You know what I'm saying? Was he the resident racist?
Man.
Probably. I can see that.
Let's hope so, because I like Jerry. You know. Like George Costanza.
George is hilarious.
All of them. But George is the one. That's the one I relate to the most.
He makes the show.
I mean, most people relate to him the most.
Yeah, I relate to George too. Very much so.
Yeah.
It was cold. I was in the pool. Oh, it's not you. It's me. If it's anybody, it's me.
Shout out to Seinfeld.
You stopped short. Hit her with the swirl. He's going to maintain his artistic integrity. There's so many great...
He's an architect for Vandalay Industries. Now, that's mixing two things, but he would tell everyone he was an architect and Vandalay Industries was his fake company. Remember? Vandalay.
Man.
So, speaking of company... I heard you got a...
Oh, man. All right.
You're right. Interesting email today.
Unpaid internships, man. Unpaid internships.
Fuck a paid, unpaid internship.
Listen, it's a lot of levels. It's a lot of levels for everything that's wrong. First of all, it's fucked up to just not want to pay someone for their work or pay someone very little. A stipend, a few hundred dollars a month. Nah, like, not paying someone at least, you know... At least something, probably even a little above minimum wage. You know, something, you know, just
something some, fair.
Yeah, something fair. Get by money. But so they want you to, especially if you already have another job, so you're supposed to leave your job, lose like whatever you were making, work for them for months. They'll hire you if it works out.
Yeah.
And of course, that means if they can hire you. Yeah. So there's all these ifs.
It's too much uncertainty.
Exactly. And say they do make you an offer. You pretty much have to accept it because they know you need that check. So they could give you a low ball offer and you like, damn, I can't I already gave up my job, or like, you know what I mean? Or I don't have other option.
I was working for free this long.
Like. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'll be happy to take whatever thing, you know?
It's really some pimping, yo.
It is pimping. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Starve them and then pay them less rather than pay them up front and what they're worth.
You need leverage. Like, you have no leverage if you're waiting for someone to give you money when they know that you just work for free.
It's like when you're that thirsty. I remember C-Ray's Walls has a line like, you know, I leave you in the desert. With a bottle of piss.
It's disrespectful.
You're gonna get thirsty at some point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's like, damn. That's basically what they just said. Yeah. They unpaid internship, and then they dropped you the bottle of piss.
Yeah.
You come unpaid, in here for water.
No pay, whatever it is. Yeah. When you give someone
you want fluids, you'll take the piss.
Plus, they know people need experience.
They know people need experience.
So, but they can be picky and choosy with...
Well, I'm going to be picky and choosy.
That's what I'm talking about.
Not accept unpaid internship like that. You know the stress you're under, too? Imagine the stress. You go in every day.
Yeah, it's definitely a high-stress situation.
That'll from Plainfield to New York, that train pass is over $300. They probably give me enough to cover my train pass. What if I get lunch a few times? They're going to give you like as little as they can. So, nah, man, forget that. You know, you got to find someone who, you know, values you enough to, like, give you a little something.
Pay you. Yeah.
I'm like, nothing crazy, no high salary, just something. Like, you know, you, as the employer, you already have the benefit in this country. It's different some places. You already have the benefit. You can fire someone whenever you want. You can hire me, pay me for 2 months and say, man, fuck this dude. Bye. Shit. What can I do?
They can bring you in for that one day and just be like, you know what? This shit didn't even work out.
Exactly. And you got to go home and deal with it. But when you're an intern, you're not eligible for unemployment. That's the thing. When you give someone a job and then you fire them after a month or two, they can collect unemployment and not just be totally ass out. And it'll be based on whatever they got there and their last set. It'll be some calculation. But just to totally just ass out, just go and risk everything for these people that don't want to take any risk themselves.
Yeah.
Like, risk something. You want everyone else to take all the risks. So, anyway, that's how it is, man. They treat everyone like they're disposable, but, man, it's not going to work.
Your time is worth compensation. Your skills are worth compensation.
Your commute is worth compensation.
Your commute is worth compensation.
I gotta go on the Funk Master Flex rant real quick.
Yeah.
It's similar to this, but
So
I follow a good amount of agencies on my social media, like on Facebook.
What sort of agencies?
On LinkedIn, public relations, advertising. And you know, I'll check periodically to see if there's any jobs listed or any internships listed, and there isn't any. But then you'll see these articles where it's like, oh, have you ever thought about interning? Meet this intern, and they're going to tell you about their experience that they've been having for the last couple months. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? Like, I didn't even get a chance. Like, you already filled the spot with whoever, but there was probably no application process. You probably just knew that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't really want to take a chance on these other people.
Yeah.
We're just going to bring you in, and just then if you want a job afterwards, we'll just hook you up.
Wow.
Yeah, so fuck all those agencies.
Yeah.
Eat a dick. But, you know, I mean, I guess if you want to hire me later, like, we can chat. But for right now.
They might listen. I'm not putting this in the description, so they won't.
Yeah.
They won't come on and see, you know, Poppy Lyle and David talk about unpaid internships. Nah, I keep it out of the description, man.
But yeah, if they want to hire me, you know what I'm saying? Like, just let me know if you want my resume. I got it. I can
hire him for money.
Money. We don't play that. Money. We don't play that unpaid shit. I'm too old for that.
Too old for that shit, man.
Don't even have to be the most money, but just something.
That I can get there, eat food, and put gas in my car if necessary. That's
a couple bills.
Pay.
The same pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, pay like one or two bills.
Yeah, exactly, man. I'm not trying to sleep in the stalls at, you know.
and then get paid like 30 G's or something.
Just stay in New York. Don't have to buy the train pass. Just, you know, sleep at my desk. Not trying to do that.
So when, in the video, when I said the Funk Master Flex, you got to drop one of the bombs.
Ah, okay, okay. Yeah. I dropped the bomb.
If I take enough pauses, like, you could drop bombs in between my pauses, too.
Yeah. Would it be lucrative to have nap houses?
I think that's
nap houses? Not hotels, but nap houses.
That's the thing.
Have shits, like, rolls, like, at a laundromat or some shit. Like, you know, like drawers. Like, it's just a bed.
Yeah,
it's
shit. Like, you're in the morgue.
Oh, and you get, but I mean, it has a window, so, like, you can see and stuff. You know what I mean? Maybe it'll be a window to outside so you can see.
You're taking these, like, they're starting to do not just tiny houses, but also very small apartments. Yeah. You're taking it to the next level. Just like, I think we got to get the small apartments first.
You can get your nap in.
Oh, yeah. Just for naps?
Nap.
People do it. People want to visit New York so bad, they would spend $10 to get a little sleeping pod.
That may have been the thing at one point. I saw that on the news. I don't know if it's still a thing, or I don't know if it was just an experiment, but they were doing that at one point somewhere. Mm. Like, you would pay X amount of dollars to sleep for however long. Like, you could book an hour, 30 minutes, 2 hours.
Put a little thing in there, they plug a radio in if they want.
Yeah.
And they just sit there. And it's like, ding! And then it's like, all right, you got to get out. And if you don't get out, and everything's by credit card, too, that way.
Yeah, if you go over your time, they'll just bill you again. Yeah.
You got to get them out of there.
But you just come in yourself, though. Like, it's kind of like it operates.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Swipe or something.
Maybe.
We got to have someone there, though. You know people will pervert this real quick.
Yeah, some people are prostitution in there. People are definitely getting the fuck on in there, for sure.
One person per pod. You can't share pods.
But you got to have someone making sure that they don't bring someone else in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they got some sensor that's like, oh, it's 2 heartbeats in here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I bet you could do that.
Yeah.
Like, the bed vibrates when you have a minute of sleep left, so you don't oversleep. And then an alarm goes off. Yeah, that would be a good idea. So we're going to do boys trip. Nap pods.
Bouncing?
Coming soon. Look out for that.
Yeah.
Boys trip nap pods.
DMX come in there. Like, say DMX. Like, a dude like DMX come in there and wants to have sex with his girl in the pod. You think I'm going over there?
To stop him, you mean?
Yeah, I'm getting 13 an hour? What?
Yeah.
Part-time, no benefits?
If DMX is going to bang his woman, I'm like, yo, so it's really not supposed to be 2 people in here, but if you take this picture and you maybe pay for my lunch, like, I don't care. Like, I didn't see you. I didn't see both of you go in there at the same time. But if it's an average human being, yeah, I'm going to be like, yo, just get the fuck out of here. Like,
yeah.
Unless they pay me. If they pay me like $50, I'd be like, yo, I just, hey, go handle your business.
People are crazy out here, yo, in these streets, man. I won't test them.
Nah, especially not DMX.
You ever be at your job and you realize some crazy shit's about to go down, and then you have to weigh, like, is this worth it?
I've gone to work and saw the police in the parking lot and just assumed that somebody was getting fired, but never knew why they were there.
Damn, preventative measures, just in case.
They call police when someone's getting fired?
It would be like every once in a while, but I wouldn't pay attention to whoever wasn't working there anymore. I either didn't know them or I just never encountered them.
Yeah.
But periodically, yeah, there would be a cop car just sitting in the parking lot for like 2 hours. And then he would just go away. So I don't know if that was to make sure that said person doesn't fuck up anybody else's car or what, but
yeah
they were extra cautious.
I worked with this dude in Philly before. The whole office would, everyone knew he was crazy, but it was unspoken. We didn't even talk about it, but people would just play gunshots sometimes. And they would all joke that, oh, it's Mike coming in shooting up the office. It was kind of a dark humor. But he was crazy, and he couldn't stand everybody but me, cause like the crazy people usually gravitate to me.
Yeah.
So I would always talk, you know, he would always come to me and talk to me and stuff, and it comforted me. And everyone joked too. They was like, yo, he's gonna shoot everyone but David.
Yeah.
I was like, damn right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think every job has that one crazy person where everybody's like,
shooter, potential shooter.
He's number one. If we're getting shot, it's definitely by him.
Yeah, no, this guy was high on there. He had to be in his 40s, but he wasn't quite like that mature. I don't know. It was everyone. We knew he was the shooter. Luckily, I was nervous the day that they let him go when they fired him. I can't say I was a little nervous that day.
Did you hide under your desk?
Pennsylvania too, man.
Did you book it for the nearest exit?
I was just on alert. I was thinking about it. I was like, yo, he got let go yesterday. He could show, even if he didn't show up shooting, he could show up and be very unpleasant. There's a lot of other stuff you could do.
Just
a negative situation.
After, you know, all the college shootings, the school shootings, the movie theater shootings, these things happening in public places, there's a level of paranoia that's developed, because here's a lot of mass shootings in America. There are. It's a mass shootings counter online.
Yeah.
You know, for just stuff that's going on in the United States. Things could be a reality. I remember when I was in college, I had a philosophy class, and it was this one dude, he one day just got mad and was like, man, fuck, and just banged his desk and ran out the class. Mm. I packed up my bags and I went out shortly after. I was like, well, I'm not waiting for him to come back. Nah, people are like, yo, you're mad ignorant. Yeah. I'm like,
I don't want to be a statistic.
You know what? 2007 was that Virginia Tech thing, man.
Yeah.
You think twice about that. He killed like 40 people.
Yeah.
We're in school at that time.
Yeah, exactly. Shit. Early 2007.
And I was in Res Life. I was an RA, so we had training on that, you know?
Yeah.
First step, assess situation. Man, I'm looking for the window.
You're not jumping in front of no bullets.
You're not gonna,
what, for some residents?
You're not de-escalating the situation.
De-escalating the situation. Hey, yo, he got a gun. Man, listen. There was a cat, too. There were a couple cats in school that I'm like, man, yeah, you definitely fit the description.
Yeah.
So one dude was, he's a Trump supporter before. I know he's a Trump supporter now, but I'm saying he's a Trump supporter before Trump. He's a staunch Republican. He hated Obama. Yeah.
Damn.
It's funny because he became public information after me. I used to be public information executive in student government. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I just made flyers and promoted parties. Like, so.
Yeah.
So the Republican became my position after me.
Oh, shit.
He was so whack, yo. His flyers were so unsoulful. He was using Microsoft Word art.
From you?
Yeah, I was Photoshop shit.
Rainbow like, block letters and shit.
Rainbow block letters.
It's like from Obama to Trump. That's pretty much what you just described.
Everything was stock.
There's no soul.
No kitted up shit.
Yeah.
Word art. With the arc. A little circle with the blast in the background.
Yo, seventh grade, I thought I was...
We're in college, exactly.
Middle school, you thought that was like, oh shit, I could have like an arch and block letters? That was it, but nah, to go from you, because you're pretty good with the layouts.
I try. I try to lay it out, you know what I'm saying? I lay out.
Damn, that was awkward.
I saw that this morning. He like broke in. That's some scary shit. Like, how are you able to get through whatever security clearance at an airport, steal an airplane, and then crash the shit?
Oh, let's get into that, man. Put this article up.
A dude stole a plane?
Yeah, he stole a plane. And then here's the thing. The way they described it, they were like, either he was drunk or he was doing stunts. Like, he was either very skilled at what he was doing, or he was just so drunk that it looked like he knew what he was doing.
He had to know what he was doing. There's no way you could there's so many snobs.
So many steps before you even start the shit. Like,
wow. Like, this shit looks mad confusing.
Yeah.
But what if, like, all those buttons don't do anything and this shit is like,
it's just an on button, yeah. Like, the new ones, no push key. Push to start.
Oh, man. That's nuts.
Damn. And he crashed.
Yeah, he died.
But was any, no one else was on board?
Nah, though? It was just him.
Oh, it was just him. I kept, because I'm looking through this article, I keep trying to find out how many victims, just him. So
yeah, I saw it was on the news this morning.
Damn, it was like a commercial jet, 76 seats. Yeah. So it's like a small plane, but nonetheless. So CNN, before he crashed and died, the airline worker who authorities say stole and flew a passenger plane in the Seattle area Friday had a wide-ranging discussion with air traffic control. At one point expressing confidence in his flying ability, quote, because I've played video games. In audio recordings posted to Broadcastify, the man can be heard both resisting and seeking help as a controller and others tried to guide the otherwise unoccupied Horizon airplane to a landing. And apparently fighter jets chased it at some point before it crashed. Damn.
He said he was confident in his flying abilities because he played video games.
Flight simulators are pretty real nowadays.
I
mean,
yeah, but that's like me saying, oh, bet I played Call of Duty for like 4 years. Now I got so much stain, I'm going to just go spray people. Like,
I mean, Grand Theft Auto.
I played Grand Theft Auto. Now I can carjack right now. Yeah. Like, I'm
change the paint in the car.
Yeah, I can get 5 stars real quick. Like,
I mean,
and hide.
I play 2K, so I guess I could just get on the court, just, you know.
LeBron don't want no smoke. Together.
Beat Michael Jordan, yeah.
Yeah.
Never lost. They described him as suicidal, but did not elaborate. Never lost. Yeah, never lost.
Yeah.
That's going to be a quote you remember LeVar by. At times he was apologetic, expressed his desire to fly toward the nearby Olympic Mountains, worried about lightheadedness, and expressed shock at his fuel level's rapid decrease. See? Flight simulator, they don't really care about fuel.
Yeah, there's no fuel. Yeah.
He thought his fuel was going to last for a while. It's a small plane. I bet it doesn't, you know. Wow.
But he was talking to air traffic control? They weren't like, yo, what are you doing? Like,
I guess it's just a recording. Maybe he was just talking to himself in the plane.
And they just had the audio from it.
Yeah, the audio.
Oh. Yeah, because if I'm an air traffic control, I'm probably like, bro, like, let's try and land that real quick. Yeah. Let's avoid any casualties, catastrophes.
God damn. I mean, it's great, though. He crashed on some island and didn't kill anyone on the ground. That's good, because it's, I mean, Seattle Air is a populated area. Imagine around here, like, you hit any neighborhood and...
That's a couple houses down, yeah.
Yeah, at least. I remember that flight and going to the Dominican Republic. Might have been flight. I forget which flight it was. Like late 90s. It was right before 9/11.
TWA Flight 800 or something. It might be.
Yeah, Flight 800 took off from, I think, LaGuardia or JFK, but it crashed into a neighborhood and,
damn.
Caused some damage in Queens. But,
Wait, no. Flight 800, I think that was the one that crashed in the ocean.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that one just like exploded right above the ocean. There was another one that crashed that it like disintegrated. I don't think it hit the ground directly. It might have done some other stuff first, but yeah, it hurt people on the ground in Queens.
Damn.
Yeah. It's good this one didn't. Oh, he did talk to air traffic control. So
did they say anything back, or they just let it ride?
Well, the controller said, let's see. The man wonders aloud whether a controller is trying to direct the plane towards jets. The controller says, no, I'm not taking you to any jets. I'm actually keeping you away from aircraft that are trying to land at the airport. The man says, oh, okay, yeah. I don't want something to screw with that. I'm glad you're not screwing up everyone else's day on account of me. So he wasn't trying to hurt anyone else. Then he starts commenting on fuel. The man says, I'm down to 2,100. I started with like 30 something. The controller says, you said you had 2,100 pounds of fuel left? The man says, yeah. I don't know what the burnout is like on takeoff, but yeah, it's burned quite a bit faster than I expected. He also expressed anxiety about the Air Force base. Oh man, these guys would rough me up if I tried landing there.
Oh yeah.
I think I might mess something up there too. I don't want to do that. They probably got anti-aircraft. No, they don't have any of that stuff. We're just trying to find a place for you to land safely. The man says, yeah, not quite ready to bring it down just yet. Yo, this is wild. Holy smokes, I got to stop looking at the fuel because I'm going down. It's going down quick. He's like, nah, I'm not ready to land yet, but thanks for helping. Damn. Wow.
Try to help
him. Imagine, though, being an air traffic controller trying to just tell a crew guy that never flew a plane before how to land. That must be...
That's nerve-wracking. Yeah. That has to be nerve-wracking.
Controller, if you could you start a left-hand turn and we'll take you down to the southeast, please? The man says, this is probably like jail time for life, huh? I mean, I would hope it is for a guy like me. Self-deprecating.
Yeah.
Controller says, well, we're not going to worry or think about that
right now.
But could you start a left-hand turn, please?
Could you just land the plane and then we'll worry about the rest of that shit later?
Exactly. Then he says, the man says, nah, I mean, I don't need that much help. I've played video games like this before. Okay. Anyway. Sad story.
I mean, I remember flying the planes in Grand Theft Auto. That shit was difficult as hell.
I used to do the flight simulators all the time. And
they're mad hard.
They're hard, and I crashed all the time. Yeah. So if I flew like I did in the thing, I would crash.
That's nuts, though.
What?
He did see that his fuel was going. That's crazy.
Yeah, but he wasn't ready to land yet. And he was scared the army guys might rough him up if he landed there. Which is like,
get roughed up by some army guys or crash a plane.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, those guys might rough me up a little bit.
I'll just die. Whatever.
Yo, I mean,
I'll attempt to land this plane somewhere else.
Yeah.
But did he? Like, did they say anything about him trying to land, or he just kept flying until all the fuel ran out?
I don't know. It seems like he tried to find out eventually what happened. Then he felt lightheaded. Then he said, I don't want to hurt anyone. This is a long dialogue. The man says, damn it. People's lives are at stake here. The controller said, now, don't say stuff like that. Oh, this is like a real calm controller. Like, hey, calm down, man.
Yeah.
The man says, no, I told you. I don't want to hurt no one. I just want you to whisper sweet nothings in my ear.
That took a time.
Flirting. I guess it was a woman on there. Or man.
Yeah, you know, either or, 2018.
Not that anything's wrong with that. It could have been a man. Yeah. Attempts to get him to land. They were telling him where to go. He described himself as a broken guy with a few screws loose.
That sounds...
That's how any of us would describe our guy. Right?
Yeah. That sounds broken pretty
normal. Guy? Just a broken guy with a couple of screws loose.
I don't consider myself broken. Like, when
you're in an interview, they say, well, why should we hire you for the job?
I'm broken.
I mean, I'm just a broken guy with a couple screws loose.
It's not a way to get a job. That goes back to what you said before about self-promotion.
Yeah.
You don't tell the negative. You only say the positive.
Yeah. That's like the describe your weaknesses question in there.
Oh, that's the hardest one. Describe your weaknesses. I'm like, I have a go-to for that. I'm like, I'm too meticulous. Like, I'm so meticulous that it's to a fault, and I'll be trying to get it too perfect.
Yeah, that's similar to what I would say, yeah.
Yeah, like, you can't have, like, oh, yeah, I watch YouTube sometimes.
So I overextend myself sometimes. Like, I try to delegate as much of myself as I can, but I end up, you know, just still getting tasks done, but I probably could have done it better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got to compliment yourself in the critique.
Yeah. I always want to just be like, I don't have any fucking weaknesses. Yeah. Like, don't ask me that question. Like, I'm out here trying to get this job. If I tell you I have a weakness, you might be like, oh, okay, well, we'll make a note of that.
You're right. This censorship that Google, Facebook, and a couple other people, they can just wipe you off the map if ever your message, you know, veers from. I'm alluding to the Alex Jones thing. I'm not an Alex Jones fan. He's a conspiracy theorist. But the way that Google, Facebook, and I forget who else, Spotify, or no, Google, Facebook, and Apple just came and just, they wiped him off Apple, all his podcasts. They took him off Google. You can't search him. And in general, they've been fucking with the algorithms in the last couple years. That, like, sometime on a left-wing website, you can't find an article you were looking for. You Google it, and it's, like, it's way down the page. Mm-hmm. So they've been, they have so much power, these few tech giants, that they could shut someone out. So a lot of people were happy when Alex Jones got shut down because he's Alex Jones. But I'm like, they're going to
happen to him.
They're going to be coming up. They're going to be coming to other people.
Next is going to be someone else.
It'll be people.
It's about thoughts and ideas that contrast to what that norm is.
Exactly. It'll be Counterpunch, which is just a regular left-wing website that writes about Syria and Medicare for All and shit like that. And they already are on some lists that the big newspapers have published. Like, these sites, they call them Russian propaganda. So it's a whole thing going on where they're trying to ally you with Russia or call you a foreign. Yeah, it's McCarthyism starting up again. So when I saw they shut down Alex Jones, and to bring it, that also involves music and stuff too. Like, click of a button, you could be shut down because it's like these tech monopolies. So it's kind of, you know, boys trip. We could be wiped off in a second if there was a reason to do
that. Fuck that. They ain't coming for boys trip. They ain't coming for boys trip.
Yeah.
Erase the boys trip.
Yeah, Apple.
Because you know why? Yeah,
we put our shit in your podcast.
We're not some internet ass motherfuckers. We exist in the real world. Y'all getting a snippet. This was recorded in the real world. You know what I'm saying? We ain't on the internet. You can't physically be there. Yeah?
And we do live in a concealed carry state. No, I'm joking. We don't. We live in New Jersey.
Nah, yeah, nah.
We ain't got none of that going on. I'm just joking. No hammers.
No blickies.
No blicky with the stickies.
Yeah.
Yo, but I got a slingshot. What? You know what I'm saying? Take a small axe and leave a giant lopsided.
I got a 9-iron.
Shit,
golf club.
I'm going to sew your asshole clothes and keep feeding you. what about?
A hot hanger.
A hot hanger sticking your ass slow. Like.
I do have hangers. I have hangers and access to a stove, so we can.
Yo, like I said on my last album, Lone Ranger out for my Rodney Danger. Still could get ill like meth with a hanger. You sit on that and figure out what that means.
Yeah.